News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings at 8:07 on your Tuesday morning.
It is a Tuesday. It just so happens to work out that is when so many election days are held, and also when we talk with Quinn Hillier. And you can read his work at quinnhillier.com, along with NOLA and The Advocate. And good morning, Quinn. How are you doing today?
Doing fine. Thanks. Hope you guys are as well.
We're doing good.
We're doing all right. And, of course, we have special primary elections today in four redrawn congressional districts in Alabama, one that really matters to us locally, and that's District 1. And then if you want to look for another storyline in the state, that would be the District 2 general election. So whoever comes out of the Republican primary there will face the incumbent, who is a Democrat, Shamari Figures, and we're expecting a lot of national attention and money in that race. But along with that today, Quinn, you have primaries in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Vermont, and Connecticut. I know some Democrat Socialists of America candidates in some of those races, and we've talked about that quite a bit these last couple weeks. And then also in South Carolina, Senator Lindsey Graham, the late Senator Lindsey Graham, his sister Darlene running against some other candidates for that primary election there. So a busy day ahead of us on the national scene.
It really is. There are a lot of, and there are a lot of really awful lefty candidates in some of those other northern states that you're talking about. And, I keep saying I wish both parties would be more responsible, and certainly the Democrat voters in some of these individual congressional districts are not being responsible at all. But the two that I'm watching the most closely are the two southern ones, our own, of course, and South Carolina. The problem with our own is that nobody's paying much attention. We're not used to voting in August. And this whole thing has been weird. This is the third time I think we will have voted for the same congressional seats, although they've been redesigned. The third time in 90 days, not enough people are paying attention. But it's not the fault of the people not paying attention. It's the fault of the courts and the legislature.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, I could see that. But let's keep in mind, in May, a more traditional voting date, 90% of voters didn't turn out for that either. You still ended up around, 10 or 11% turnout, unless I'm wildly off on that.
Yeah.
But this may be an all-time low today.
Yeah, I'm predicting maybe 4%.
You went with the under like me, because the standard line is 5%. You know, that's kind of the standard projection. And it's Dalton and I were just sitting here looking at the text line where people are telling us that they're in and out in a minute and a half or whatever. It gives you the impression that we've never seen it look like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen the response to polling places look like that.
No, we haven't.
And this is what happens when people get confused, and also when there's not enough time for candidates to really figure out what their district is, where they're going to run, who they're running against, and then raise money to run a reasonable campaign. You end up getting a non-competitive primary election, and that's what we have here, apparently. If you just go by amount of money spent, obviously the one-time incumbent, no longer incumbent, Jerry Carl, is the one with all the money, the one with all the ads, the one with all the
endorsements,
paperwork that's cluttering up my mailbox. You also do have somebody with a reasonably impressive resume. That would be Austin Sidwell from over there in Fairhope, who was in the Air Force for 12 years. He's got a Master's of Business Administration degree. He helps run a family security business. They actually hire and rent out security guards. And he's one semester away from getting a law degree. So, he's the kind of candidate that if there were more time, he might be able to get his message out. I don't know. But, we don't know how good he is, because he hadn't really had much of a chance. But it would be nice to see a really full-bore campaign. And right now, we haven't had a chance to see that.
I think we had a favorable impression of him when he was on our show.
Definitely, yeah. I think he's very, very impressive, Sidwell. And he's
exactly.
young like
point.
You said, yeah, and he's been pushing hard. I do want to say, you know, this is being framed, at least nationally and from many on the left, this whole redistricting push, and there's definitely something to it, but with Republicans trying to make their odds better of at least retaining the House, and I can see that argument coming from the left, and I know a lot of people on the right don't disagree and don't hate that that might be an outcome that comes from this. But for me, Quinn, just the fact that Mobile and Baldwin County were separated in their congressional district, even if it was just, you know, one term more or less, to me, fixing that and having communities of like interests together, especially Mobile and Baldwin counties, was worth it, even with a potentially 4% turnout today.
And I'm going to half agree and half disagree. Look, I felt so strongly that they shouldn't break up Mobile in half that I actually spent money, hired a lawyer, and filed a friend of the court proposed map that would have been consonant with both the Supreme Court rulings of the time and the need to keep Mobile together. I think you're absolutely right. Mobile and Baldwin should be together. But there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. I just think they should have waited till 2028 and get it right rather than have somebody elected in a 4% primary turnout and then have basically zero strong opposition in the fall. I don't think that's what democracy should be.
Well, what do you think about that District 2 race? And Shamari Figures does not have a primary opponent.
Yeah, so he's sitting on the sidelines right now.
He's the incumbent, and he will represent the Democrats in a district that he didn't come in saying that he represented, right? He said he represented Mobile, and now you have this Wiregrass district. He's going to run. It sounds like Rhett Marcus is he definitely is the odds-on favorite. I don't know if we'll see an upset over in District 2, but what's your vibe on how that District 2 race is going to look these next 3 months and how much national attention we'll be getting?
Well, look, the odds are stacked against Shamari Figures. The numbers are stacked against him, but not hugely. He is a definite underdog in that district. He actually did represent a big chunk of that district before they changed the district lines.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did is they took out his Mobile base, which is actually where he lives, and that makes it harder. But it doesn't mean he is an unknown factor.
Mm.
And, you know, with all the Democratic money coming in, you know, if everything, you know, goes right and if the Rube Goldberg mousetrap, you know, has all the springs and, mm-hmm. and slants and ramps work just right in his favor, yeah, he's got at least a partial chance.
Montgomery is still part of that district.
Yes,
and
exactly.
That's a big urban area, so that's you'd have to think Montgomery will go.
It's a big Democratic area.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so is some of the rural Wiregrass, some of it.
Yeah. Also, Jerry Carl was in our studio yesterday. We talked about a lot of things, as you can imagine, including, I don't even know if this is on the air or off the air, but he did mention, like, you know, his campaign spent a lot of money on the Dothan television market. I know it's not the most expensive market out there, but
a big chunk of change the week that it was altered, right?
Yeah. See, you know, he was spending to be heard in the Wiregrass, and then it turns, you know what I mean? The wasted money in all this is just pretty crazy.
Which is, again, is another reason why I think it would have been better to redo the districts for 28 than now. But look, that's water under the bridge. And at least, as you say, the good news is Mobile and Baldwin counties are back together where they belong. And in the long run, that's I think, better for everybody.
I do want to read this text from Cindy saying that people are showing up at the wrong location to vote. Please do your PSA again about checking the state website to find their location. Thank you. Well, you just did a good job of that on your own, Cindy.
Yeah.
SOS.alabama.gov. You can go there and find out where you're supposed to be voting today. And you'll probably need to find where, because you're not just going to ride by and see, oh, there's a million people out there getting ready to vote. That must be where I go. No, we're seeing some low numbers already this morning.
But it would be a protest for me to not vote because I actually do ride by.
Yeah.
I do ride by where I vote on my way home.
You just have to not look if you're in shame. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So, Quinn, also these other races, and we kind of had a go around a few weeks back about Darlene Graham. And she, of course, Lindsey Graham's sister, who was appointed to his seat after he passed away unexpectedly. And my big argument was, hey, if she's only holding this spot down for a few months and she's going to be in and she's going to be voting, I don't see a big problem with this. Well, she was convinced through endorsements and whatever other means that she needs to really run to hold that Senate seat for a long time. And we'll see today what the folks of South Carolina actually think of Darlene Graham. What are you seeing in that race?
Yeah, look, she had done nothing other than a few speeches for her brother. Nothing that you would think would prepare somebody to be one of the top 100 elected officials in the country, not counting the president, of course. And this whole idea of political family dynasties rubs me the wrong way. I think people should earn it on their own. I know somebody who calls a dynasty a do-nasty because it's just not... It smacks of, you know, hereditary monarchy and stuff like that. She's apparently a nice lady, but to get a 6-year term just because her brother was in there when she hadn't done anything, I don't know. It as I say, rubs me the wrong way.
Do you have any polling numbers on that, Dalton?
Let me try to pull some up.
I would guess that she's going to win.
Well, no, she's. Everything I have seen has her favored to come in first, but to come nowhere near 50%.
Okay.
So she will be in a runoff with probably their number of candidates, but there are three of them who have a chance to be number two. One would be, I mean, there are two congressmen, Fry and Norman, and one former congressman, former governor, former Argentinian lover, Mark Sanford.
Oh, wow. That's spicy.
Mark, if y'all will remember, Mark Sanford was the governor who said he was out hiking the Appalachian Trail, and it turned out he was in Argentina with his mistress. Well, he is trying to make yet another comeback, and he is actually running close to second. And he's quite the character. He's charming as can be. He's funny.
I would imagine.
He's smart. He's funny. He's smart. He votes right by my, you know, lights. But he
loves Argentina.
It's not just Argentina. He's got a problem on that front.
He's in the Gary Hart Hall of Fame. He's one of those dudes.
So,
I got it.
So I don't have the polling numbers. I do have the betting odds on the South Carolina Republican Senate special primary. Darlene Graham, they're giving 42% odds to win. Again, that's not polling percentages, but they're giving her 42% chance of winning today's primary. And if it goes to runoff, like Quinn was mentioning, Ralph Norman, they have next on the odds board at 34%, then Russell Fry at 21%, and then Sanford at 3%. So we'll see where that one goes. And then I guess the other storyline today is how far is the reach of the DSA, the party that's making all the waves nationally right now? Because as you mentioned, some of those northern states that are voting today, they have those same candidates on the ballot.
Well, yeah, and I can't remember if she's running for senator. I think it's governor, this lady Hong in Wisconsin. I think it's governor of Wisconsin. And they've got her on tape saying she hates Thanksgiving Day because it's, I don't know, it hurts indigenous peoples and all kinds of crazy stuff, which she's now trying to
walk
run
it
away
back
from, saying, oh, that was way long ago. And of course, it was only 5 years ago.
Right.
She's got so many wacky things she said and done, but apparently there's a slice of the Democratic electorate that is just going all in for wacky.
They're doing everything they can to expose those things in conservative media like Breitbart and Fox News.
And she's running for governor, Quinn, but kind of like the Tabitha Eisner situation down here where she was telling Democrats to vote in these Republican primaries for the candidate they would most like to face. I think Republicans would be pretty happy to see Hong on the other side of that governor's race up there, one that the Democrats feel they could easily win, the race for governor of Wisconsin, but a candidate like that may make it more difficult for them.
And I've always been of the view, and I know a lot of people don't hold it, that I would rather both parties put up their best, most responsible candidate, because you never know who's going to win. You never know what will happen. You never know what scandal will come up. And I don't want to take a chance of having a radical
socialist.
A radical socialist have the nomination and therefore have a 50% chance of winning. I just don't want to see that, regardless.
You're a big Saints guy. Very proud about Drew Brees going in the Hall of Fame. Can we talk about that on the way?
Absolutely. Okay. Do that.
We'll do it.
822 Mobile Mornings, our text line, 251-343-0106, if you want to get in this morning.
Moving Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
And Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com, and NOLA in Louisiana on the line with us this morning.
Yeah, and man loves his Saints. There's no doubt about that. And one in particular I'm sure he's a massive fan of would be Drew Brees, enshrined last week in Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, along with some other big names like Luke Kuechly, who they had a battle a time or two over the years, didn't they? Larry Fitzgerald, sure, Adam Vinatieri, and Roger Craig. But yeah, you're loving Drew Brees' induction speech, huh, Quinn?
My goodness. Well, I've seen people on social media, not just New Orleanians, say that Drew Brees' acceptance speech was the best acceptance speech in Hall of Fame history.
Wow.
He name-checked 69 different people.
Wow.
People that he thanked by name. He said all sorts of wonderful things about how important his teammates were, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, everything was right on target. And then he had a line that will live forever in New Orleanian hearts. And I wish I had it right in front of me, but because I'm going to get one or two words wrong. But he basically said he was paying tribute to New Orleans and, you know, after what happened at Katrina. And he said, "You entrusted the soul of the city to me, and I would have died to defend that calling."
Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes
from great
words, but especially when it comes from a guy like Drew Brees, because you know that it's genuine, you know that's the way he actually feels. He's not just some guy that's reading a speech that somebody prepared for him.
I saw a statistic the other day that he has given away $50 million in charity.
Man,
all sorts. I mean, he built playgrounds. He basically self-financed charter schools. What he used to do, Sports Illustrated got this, he would call a meeting of leading businessmen once a month.
Yeah,
they what they called.
They would meet like in a back room, and he would plot some sort of a charitable donation.
Charitable donations and civic renewal projects. He would convene these businessmen. This is a quarterback of the football team, and he would convene the businessmen and say, you know, okay, what can we do next to help bring this city back?
I mean,
he's just a great guy, and I was delighted to see him get so much positive attention.
And he was such a massive star as he was leading the Saints, which makes it impressive that he was able and did walk around, you know, any part of New Orleans without security. But I say without security, his security was everyone who lived in New Orleans.
Yep.
They loved that guy.
Yep.
And if you mess with him out there, you're gonna know about it.
Well, yeah, and look, he's a man of faith. He's devoted to his family. It was just a wonderful feel-good thing. And people in New Orleans are just going nuts over him this week.
To mention 69 names of other people when you're the one being celebrated, that must be a record. Quinn, we're out of time, but thanks for sharing some time with
us. Thanks a lot, guys.
You
got
appreciate it.
Yeah. Cool seeing, too, his connection with Sean Payton has persisted, right? Because Payton was obviously such a big part of the New Orleans story as well. And I guess he spent a lot of time working on his video for Drew Brees for that, even though it was only a couple minutes long.
Is that right?
Weeks working on what he had to say about his favorite quarterback.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. That moment was only going to come along once.
8:30. We'll get to your texts and calls next.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Yes, text us, 251-343-0106, 8:35 now on this Tuesday morning, Mobile Mornings, and time to check in with our Buddy over at the new Capital Tractor in that Scooter Greenhill in that brand new location you can see from I-10. Good morning, Scooter.
Morning. How are y'all?
Man, we are doing just fine. And while the kids are all headed back to school, the heat is still here and still plenty of daylight to work outside as we head towards fall and a lot to get ready to for as well. I know had a very nice, very successful summer mower sell-off, but now discounts on diamond mulchers through the end of this month. I know that's bringing a lot of folks in.
It is. The diamond, we've got the 60-inch mulchers for the SVL 97, the 50-inch mulchers for the SVL 75, and we've got a pretty good selection of mini excavator mulchers as well, too.
Yeah.
With some really good pricing on them.
The selection is absolutely insane, and if you have good enough eyesight, you could probably pick out what you want from the interstate. Mentioned you could see all that Kubota orange up there, that new location at Capital Tractor, but I know a lot of people are probably coming through and getting equipment and things to get ready for hunting season and getting those camps ready.
Oh, yeah, we've got the tractor packages ready. We've got some packages with a tractor, disc, bush hog, and a seed spreader already on a trailer. All you got to do is hook up to it and head to the camp with it.
Man, now that's service right there. You've got it ready to roll. And speaking of service, the service department there is also top-notch. Every time I've been through, I've seen people bringing in stuff for y'all to work on. You do such a great job with that.
We've got a brand-new facility with a nice state-of-the-art shop. There's not a better-looking shop in the county.
No, and it's absolutely awesome. And the location, too, let's talk about that just a little bit because I've been out there, had an awesome grand opening celebration, and since then I've seen plenty of people out at the new Capital Tractor. But you're in a really accessible location. Like I said, you can see it from I-10, but get that Tillman's Corner exit, and you're basically right there behind the new VA hospital. Have a couple different roadways that will get you down there.
Yeah, you can turn beside that Aldi's right there across from Lowe's and Tillman's Corner, and that little service road will take you right down there. We can see the VA hospital from our front offices, so we're very accessible.
Yeah, and I was telling Sage last week, I like how much room you have out there, too, because you have people bringing in these big trucks with trailers attached, and there's plenty of room to move around or even really pull right up to the equipment you might be loading up later that day.
Yeah, we've got a lot of space, and we've also got plenty of grass to test drive some mowers on if you want them. It's getting towards the end of summer, but we still got some mower sales going on, so we can get you into one before the end of the year, and you can test drive it before you take it home.
I love it, Scooter, and I know I'm not alone. A lot of people loving that new location of Capital Tractor, and hopefully see you out there soon.
Come see us.
All right, there you go, Scooter Greenhill. He is with Capital Tractor in that new location there in Tillman's Corner, 4894 Fellowship Drive, if you're punching it into the GPS. But like I said, it's tough to miss. You can see it from I-10, or if you're driving around over there in Tillman's Corner, got a great location there now.
You almost need sunglasses to look at that place. All that orange just kind of
shocks
the retina system.
Yeah. My dad always drove Kubota, so I'm a fan of a team that wears orange, so it kind of fits me like a glove. Backstrap Stacker said, in and out in 90 seconds at E.R. Dixon, 33 votes so far at 8:35 this morning.
That is low, 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 low. So we were talking about Drew Brees in the Hall of Fame, and I thought about something that I haven't really thought about in a long, long time. It was 1972 when Lefty Gomez, most of you wouldn't know who that individual is, he pitched for the Yankees in the 30s and into the 40s. So this is
he was a left-handed pitcher, right?
He was a left-handed pitcher. His nickname wasn't a joke. So he was a friend, a very close friend, of the Monsignor at our church, which Monsignor Sheehan, who was a wonderful guy. He was a Vietnam vet. He was actually, you know, he went to Vietnam as a man of faith for the men.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so he came back, and one thing that happened to him was I think it was Vietnam-related, he developed Parkinson's disease where he couldn't drive his own vehicle. And I don't know, of all the people, he said, will you drive me up to Cooperstown to go to the Hall of Fame for my friend Lefty Gomez? I'm 16 years old.
Wow.
So it's about a three-hour drive. It was awfully nice of him to ask me. He could have asked anybody, would have jumped at this chance. So we go to the Hall of Fame, very quaint back then, very small, the Baseball Hall of Fame, unlike Canton where Drew Brees just went into. But this is my only Hall of Fame story, but it's remarkable. So Lefty Gomez, it never occurred to me. Like, he was just this old guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, we get up there, we're his guests.
Yeah.
And he, instead of saying, wait a minute, you played with Babe Ruth? You played with Lou Gehrig? Can you tell me about any of them?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, none of that really...
Crossed your mind?
It didn't cross my mind. I was just too kind of young and naive and stupid or whatever. Didn't put it all together. But the Hall of Fame itself, I would say that it's really cool to visit those Halls of Fame whenever you can. But I think the best time to go would be on the weekend where you have the inductions. Now, obviously, many more people are there. We were guests of one of the inductees. We stayed at the hotel itself right next to the lake and the Hall of Fame itself. So we were right in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at you would be walking around there to get to wherever you were going to, and you would run into Stan Musial. You would run into some of the baseball stars, of course, were not of my day, but I knew who they were.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Wow.
And if you're to go to the Hall of Fame, over the weekend in Canton, Ohio, when it was Drew Brees, it wasn't just Drew Brees was not the only one there. First of all, you had the entire Hall of Fame, those who want to return, they're all there
mm-hmm.
with their families.
All the gold jackets.
All the gold jackets. And they're not all there, but you know what I'm saying. They're all invited.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them make it back. So then you had all of the teammates of the Hall of Famers that are inducted this year. Many Saints were up there. My point is that if you're a sports fan, if you go on the weekend where the inductions are going on, there's no telling who you're going to be able to run into, have a conversation with. Just talk it out. Like you were talking about Drew Brees walking the streets of New Orleans without much security or not much concern.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what it is like, that those weekends. It's like you're bound to see anybody.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
That's so cool. And I don't think I've been to any of the Sports Hall of Fames. Yeah, I haven't. And would you say probably Canton is the, I mean, you would think the NFL Hall of Fame would get all of the accolades, like you have to make it out there. But it seems like that's not a big bucket list item for as many people.
Yeah, and I don't think the Basketball Hall of Fame's in Springfield, Mass, and that, and that's not the NBA Hall of Fame. That's all of basketball. So you have collegiate and pro in there. I don't know if that's a bucket list for many people. I think Cooperstown.
Cooperstown has to be.
Because baseball is so rich in history. You had so many players that played so many years. I think Jeff was talking about it. He went to Cooperstown.
Yeah, they just went last week or the week prior. Yeah.
And he said Henry Aaron is all over the place in Cooperstown. But again, Henry Aaron played like 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
Football, you we're seeing more of it now, but for the most part, some of the football careers can be very short.
Yeah.
Where with baseball, these players are able to stay in shape and produce
play
big numbers.
Into their 40s.
Play
yeah.
well.
Easily.
Into their 40s, yeah. Especially if they're a Hall of Famer, they're excellent.
Yeah, of course, there have been many Mobilians that have made that trip up to Cooperstown
yep.
over the years. You just have to look at our Walk of Fame
yep.
out in front of the convention center.
Incredible. Yeah,
that's awesome. Text line, get back to that. Michael said, have y'all seen the story where a cottonmouth was found in a high school football helmet?
Yep.
Yeah, we talked about that in the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah, in Arkansas.
He said, if that was my helmet, I don't think I would have ever been able to wear a helmet again. He said the kid was practicing for at least an hour before it was found. I guess that it was just under the pads of the helmet, so he had no clue. I don't know if it was like one of those first days of practice where you put the helmet on. You know, the next couple of days you have a sore neck and forehead
because mm-hmm.
you hadn't been wearing the helmet for
yeah.
you know, 6 months or something
yeah.
like that. And maybe you're just not used to how the helmet feels. But I feel like if there were a 2-foot snake in my helmet, I would have figured it out quicker than this kid.
At
did.
Least he wasn't right next to the kid's scalp. He wasn't like between scalp and helmet. He
yeah.
was in the padding is what they said.
Yeah.
So he was kind of wiggling around in there. The kid felt something, but it wasn't until he took the helmet off that they found the snake.
A lot of text about the primary elections this morning as well. From Otter, the texter Otter, it says, I am on my knees thanking heaven that we are done listening to Sanctimonious Sidwell. That's a first. I haven't heard the Sanctimonious Sidwell term yet.
No.
Words for Sidwell. I haven't heard many people go after him yet this election. Texter here said, did Quinn just say that, and I think referencing Darlene Graham here, that she'll come in first but she won't win? I said, this guy, what does he think about the Washington Post revealing Trump's security measures? I think what Quinn was saying there, is that she may come in first today, but not win outright, that they will take a primary runoff for Darlene Graham or whichever candidate comes out of that Republican primary to go ahead and advance to the general election, is what he was referencing. Now, the Washington Post story about Trump and hopping in. Remember how that whole thing went down? It was odd at the time, but you had
you reminded me like what he said, and now to think that he wasn't even on Air Force One.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was the NATO summit, right? And took the brand new Air Force One,
yeah,
gifted by the Qataris, took it over there. But then after leaving, getting ready to leave for, I think they were going to England next, they said, change of plans, and they made this news that everyone heard. Change of plans, Trump is not using the brand-new Qatari-gifted Air Force One to go to England. Instead, he's going to use the other Air Force One for security measures. And they had the press pull on the Air Force One that Trump was reportedly traveling in. And I don't know if you remember, they had them put their window shades down while on board, and
yeah,
they said it was for security measures.
I remember.
And I think a little later on that storyline that week, they were asking Trump about, you know, how much danger they were in. And he said something along the lines of, well, if I go, you go. It's just a dangerous job. Well, it turns out that Trump, they pulled a little three-card Monty, I guess, or whatever the shell game is, where you hide the shell under a cup and try to guess which one, because he wasn't even in that plane.
No, he was on a different military, smaller military jet, evidently, and at one point had to be, they used an airport catering truck as cover, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get him from one place to another. I mean, that's like out of the movies. That's like when a guy hides in a hotel's when they're delivering food,
mm-hmm,
to the third floor, and you're like
hiding in the cart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So they like put him on that one plane, and then I guess he snuck off on the other side where people couldn't see him. Gets into the airport catering vehicle.
Wow.
Goes over to this other plane, which I thought I had it listed. It was another military aircraft,
yeah,
much smaller than Air Force One.
Exactly.
And then Hegseth pulled up to that same aircraft, and then they rode together to England and went off the map. They turned the transponder off. So with the Washington Post reporting that, you know, to me, I think, holy cow, what a close call. If they were willing to go through all these measures, they must have had some serious intel,
yeah,
that Iran had planned something specifically for them that day.
Don't but also, feel like the press was like sitting ducks?
I'm sure they feel that they were.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know,
I don't know either, but like both the Air Force One and Air Force One B or whatever,
yeah,
they evidently were in harm's way.
Maybe so. But if I also think if I were president, man, I'd be pulling that kind of move all the time. I'd always keep them guessing. If you, mm-hmm, have all of these tricks at your disposal, I'd be hopping off of planes, jumping into catering carts, tucking, rolling across the runway. I'd be doing it all.
You know, in the laundry basket, right? The big moving laundry yeah, baskets. Can't you see Trump hopping in there?
Yeah, but pretty wild. And I would love, and I guess we'll never see this, because it's hard enough just getting the JFK files, right, which we're finally getting around to here this recent term. But I would love to see all of the threats that each president is up against every single day. And I would venture to guess that Trump has maybe more of those threats to worry, mm-hmm, about than previous presidents.
Well, he's got a lot of the Trump threats would be from right here in the United States.
Mm, yeah.
He's got to fear his own citizens, obviously.
Had that airspace and intruder last week, right, at the Trump golf course.
Yep.
They had to call them.
L.A.?
Yeah, I can't remember which one, but
yeah, somewhere out there.
Seems like every single day another threat arises for
doesn't
Trump
seem
there.
To, you know, it doesn't seem to... He's not affected by it much. He doesn't lead on that he is.
No, yeah, he kind of says, you know, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go, which I think that's probably the mindset you have, mm-hmm, to have if you're going to act like him. Some of the other texts this morning, Martin said, a ground rattler got in our medicine kit while practicing on the field, later found it when we opened the office. This happened at Baker about 60 years ago. Rattlesnake getting in the med kit there. Bacon wrapped,
the med kit than the helmet.
Than the helmet, no doubt. Bacon Wrapped says, I can see Dalton in a cross somewhere between Mission Impossible and Ricky Bobby rolling down the racetrack in his underwear. Yeah, I'd be much closer to the Ricky Bobby scene there than any kind of smooth-moving Tom Cruise, that's for sure. The presidential detail always does stuff like that, using two planes, two limousines, three Marine ones. So do you think Squirrel Vereen, who texted that in, that they're actually doing that all the time, that Trump is being ushered in and out of planes you think he's on or don't think he's on, but this is different just because the Washington Post maybe reported on it? I mean, they still have some leaking issues in the Trump administration.
Evidently.
There's no doubt about that, but sometimes you wonder if they leak things on purpose.
Yeah, I was wondering.
So guys like me can go, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I was wondering if this story was it leaked, or was it simply something that they, like you said, leaked it on purpose?
Another polling location text from Brad said, on Texas Street, I was number 25 and number 26, and then 27 walked in after me. So we're, 2 hours into polls being open, and we haven't seen a single place, except Bay Minette, I think, had 33 voters, according to a text earlier. I haven't seen anyone with much more than that.
Yeah, and all we can go on is what the texts have looked like in election days past. That's all we can really go on as far as does this appear to be low, and it does.
Joel says, why hasn't anyone asked the question, why did Joe Biden feel like he had to pardon Fauci from 2014 until the day he got out of office?
I think we have asked that question, and that's around the time that some of that studies, some of that research was going on.
Kind of a self-explanatory pardon there, right?
Yeah, he feels said like it.
They obviously knew something, and Fauci was doing some corrupt stuff back then. If we have some time, I'll play some of Senator Ron Johnson absolutely going scorched earth on Fauci after the release of those messages yesterday. More Mobile Mornings on the way.
Turn up your voice on the text line 251-343-0106. Now back to Mobile Mornings.
Jeff Porcher on the way. Former U.S. Rep Parker Griffith is a guest, also former state senator Dick Brubaker, and P2 public affairs Will Hampson is all lined up for Jeff. He's back from Cooperstown. He's back from everywhere, all over the Midwest. Comiskey Park, Wrigley Field, Pittsburgh Stadium, Minnesota, Minneapolis. They hit them all.
Yeah.
And of course, Cooperstown, too.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I went to an Altoona Curve game. A lot of runs scored in that one.
Yeah.
Jason said, good morning, guys. Interesting that Quinn didn't make the political dynasty argument when discussing the Figures family. That's a good point. And we'll see whether Darlene Graham has the momentum needed to take her through that South Carolina primary. But I know more pressing matters here at home is who's going to win that Republican primary in AL1. And then what does that AL2 race look like for the general election, assuming Marcus comes out of that one and set to take on Shamari Figures?
Yeah, he seems to be the favorite there. He's got the money. He's got the endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Jerry Carl. He would have to be certainly a favorite in AL1. But we'll see. But how is the low voter turnout going to affect these elections? That's really the question, because that's happening, and that's going to be the story here today.
Yeah, and kind of looking forward to the general. I think that Doug Jones is going to, and I don't know, and I don't think that he'll have enough of a foothold here on a couple different subjects that I think he could potentially gain some ground on Tuberville in, that being the data center discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the weekend, Doug Jones basically coming out against school choice, but saying it needs to be reworked in a different manner. I think that he may give some Democrats in Alabama something they can run on, because right now the national mood for Democrats, it's kind of following the rise of the DSA, right?
Sure,
and look how crazy all these socialists are. I don't think that'll work in Alabama following that same kind of template. So having Doug Jones, who sells himself as a moderate, as someone that can maybe bring people to the polls, we could be looking at at least one or two closer races in November because of that.
Headline from Lanyap, also Doug Jones promised to release his tax returns if Tommy Tuberville did. Tuberville did. However, 2 months after Tuberville did, Jones is not.
He is not.
So Lanyap is still knocking on that door. Again, that was something Jones said. He wasn't prompted to say it. He just was trying to get Tuberville to release his. Come Somerville did, but Jones has not responded like he said. Yeah. So that's something.
Right? It is. Texter, 43 votes now at Fish River VFD in Baldwin County. And Natalie says, Fauci's been pardoned all the way back to 2014. Yeah, maybe we'll talk more about that tomorrow morning. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show right here on FM Talk 106.5.
It's Election Day, and President Trump needs your help. Trump has endorsed Jerry Carl for Congress because he supports the America First agenda. Jerry Carl fought to make life more affordable, cut taxes on Social Security, and delivered jobs to South Alabama. Trump needs him in Congress. That's why President Trump is counting on you to vote today for Jerry Carl for Congress. Paid for by Jerry Carl for Congress.
I'm Jerry Carl, and I'll approve this message.